So glad to see that the pastors have made it back safe and sound. I pray that you guys have had a truly blessed week. And I pray that this word today will actually do something for someone. Will actually open some eyes to something. Will give you a brand new outlook on life. I'm not planning on keeping you guys long today. I'm not planning on being long-winded, but I wasn't planning on doing this sermon either. God decided to change it. Four years ago, I was walking to a bus stop. There was no car. There was no job. I was free. I was saved. But I was at Babe, and I was hungry, and I was looking. And as I'm walking to the bus stop, can't remember exactly where I was going, this piece of paper just kept following me down the street. And it kept following me down the street. And finally, I just had to stop and pick it up because it followed me a good distance. And I picked it up, and I'm standing there, and I was truly surprised at what I saw because it said, water to wine. Those that don't know my story, I was an alcoholic. And God delivered me, and he delivered me suddenly, and he changed everything in me. And so when I found this, I thought it was kind of interesting because of the wording of it. And I just want to read this to you. It said, there comes a time in our lives when we seek something new. The word of God can change us. That's what it was put here to do. To help us to better understand what our Lord has in mind, and why he loves us so much and bears with us through these times. Only someone who really cares would make such a sacrifice as to die on the cross, which I'm sure wasn't nothing nice. Now he lives inside our hearts and instructs us every day. It's important that we fellowship with him, worship him, and pray. He wants to get to know you and make everything just fine because you are the water that he wants to turn into wine. I don't know who wrote this, but I know I was supposed to find it. Because just like me, when I was out in the world, I ran from what I was supposed to do. And God actually chased me down. So he sent this to me, and he gave this to me. Now, I've held on to this. I mean, I showed it to people, and I talked about it. I was real excited when I first got it. But then I took it home, and I had put it away. And like I said, I wasn't planning on preaching on this today. I wasn't planning on speaking on this today, but God, the Holy Spirit, put this back on my heart. So I had to go and I had to pull it out and I had to go back over it. So it's for a reason. It's for someone. Now, throughout the Bible, Jesus performed many, many miracles, right? And I still believe that he is still performing these miracles. I still believe that he is opening those blind eyes, that he is opening the deaf ears, that he is making the crippled able to walk, that he is raising people from the dead, and that he is truly turning water into wine. Today we're going to look at that turning the water into wine. If I can get everyone to stand for a reading of the word. We're going to read out of John chapter 2, verse 7 through 10. And I'm reading out of the New King James Translation. Said, Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. Now when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made into wine, he did not know where it came from, but the servants that had drawn it did. The master of the feast called out to the bridegroom. And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. And when the guests have drunk, then the inferior wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. Father God, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for giving me this opportunity to come before the congregation. Father God, I want to say thank you, Lord, for bringing our pastors back home, Lord God, safe and sound. Father God, I pray that I may decrease so you may increase, and everything that is coming out of my mouth, Lord God, will be edifying to you, Father God. Lord, I pray that you'll breathe a brand new spirit of life into us, Father God, right here at Spirit Life Church, so that we will come out of this service today, Father God, just a little more hungry, Father God. So we will come out of this church today walking just a little bit straighter on our path, Father God. So we will come out today, Father God, being a true shining example of your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, the verses here, they tell about Jesus turning the water to wine. Now, it wasn't just a couple of cups of water that Jesus turned into wine. It was actually six containers. Six containers that could hold 20 to 30 gallons of water. And he turned that into wine. Now, the scripture said he didn't just turn it into wine, he turned it into good wine. Now, the significance of that, Jesus didn't just change the way that it appeared. He didn't just make it look like wine. He just didn't turn the water red. He actually changed the consistency and the substances of it. He actually changed it from the inside out. It wasn't just wet red water. You know, it was good wine. It was so good that the master of the feast boasted about it. He changed it completely from the inside out. Now, I wasn't a big wine drinker when I was a drinker, but I've heard of some of the more inferior wines. The Mad Dog 2020, the Thunderbird, and so forth. And I've also heard of people watering down wine. But they say that a fine wine has a certain consistency to it, has a certain texture to it, has a certain smell to it, has a certain feel to it, has a certain taste to it. And so for the master of the feast to boast, this couldn't have been an imposter wine. This couldn't have been a watered down wine. It had to be the good stuff. Now, like the poem says, there comes a time in our lives where we all start to seek something new. Comes the times in our life when we need to change the way that we're doing things and the way that we're carrying on. See, there are people that live their life so loosely, so freely, that they have no restraints. They have no morals to keep them in check. They don't really believe in anything but themselves. And they're willing to do anything and everything that makes them feel good. Now, I know back in my day, when I was out there partying and having a good time, I did what I wanted to do. It didn't matter what you said was good for me. I did what I felt like doing. And as long as I can get drunk, I was happy. There'd be times where you couldn't get me to leave the house unless there was somewhere I could go to get drunk. When I moved into a new neighborhood, the first thing I did was went and found a liquor store because I knew what I needed. And I'd get wild and I'd act crazy. And I would talk to your wife and I would talk to your girlfriend and I'd threaten you and I'd bully you around. I just did whatever I wanted to do. Now, a lot of my work nowadays is on the strip and I get to see people that are out there just living life. They're trying to get that Vegas experience. You know, you see the tourist that comes into town and they do what they choose to do. You have there's a story. There was one time where there was these group of girls that were from Canada. And they were young girls and they were out there and they were right there where I was at. And they came out sloppy drunk and they're laying on the ground. They're playing with each other and everything else. And I'm sitting there and I started to feel bad. It started to grieve my spirit for the simple fact that I know that they would never do this at home. That they would never, ever, ever even think about acting like this. But since they were in Vegas, they could do what they wanted to because it's a sin city. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, so they say. You see the working girls out there, which is sad. Some of the most beautiful women I've ever seen are working girls. Don't know if they're doing it by choice or if they're being forced to do it. You'll see those guys out there, they'll have the nice car, they have the nice jewelry, they'll have the nice clothes, and they're either addicted to the gambling or they're addicted to the drugs. So people put on this facade. They get out there and they just live life. They could care less about what God has for them, about what God has called them to do. And I myself used to be the same way. I could care less what God had for me or what God had for me to do. I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. But in 1 Corinthians 13:11, it says, when I was a young child, when I was a child, I did as childish things. I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away those childish things. God called out for me, and God called out for me. He stayed with me, and he finally got my attention. I finally grew up to the point where I was like, okay, Lord, I'm yours. Okay, Lord, I'll do what you have for me to do. You know, Jesus has a purpose for all of us, and he doesn't want any of us to be lost in this world. Each and every one of us has a purpose that was predestined at the beginning of time. Jesus doesn't want any of us to miss the mark. He didn't want us to be left out. He gave his life on the cross so that we could have reconciliation with God, so that we can walk again in righteousness, so that we could actually get to that point that he had set for us. Jesus wants us to be able to walk in righteousness because he has a task for us. And what I have to put out, the pastor might not have. What the pastor has to put out, I might not have. So if any one of us is missing the step, if any one of us is off track, those blessings that are supposed to flow through won't happen. And I think that's the importance of why we have to make sure that we're right there, that we're right there on track at all times. Now see, the thing is, if you let God, he'll turn you from that water to that wine. If you let God, he'll change you. And not just your outward appearance, but he'll change you from the inside out. See, Jesus could care less about the way that we're trying to portray ourselves, the way that we're walking around looking. You know, you can give a homeless man a haircut and a nice suit and a shower. But if he's not walking the way that God wants him to walk, if he's not living the life that God wants him to live, he's still just that homeless man with the haircut, a nice suit, and a shower. But God wants so much more from us. You know, God could care less about the way that you are living your life for yourself. He wants to make sure that you're living your life for others, that you're living your life for Christ, that you're living your life and caring for others. You have many people that they'll get that new job or they'll get that promotion and they'll change their outward appearance, but they're still evil to the core. You know, the Bible even says that you can have the ability to heal, but if you have no love, it's for nothing. You can have that power of discernment, but if you don't have love, it's for nothing. You can have the greatest voice in the world. You can attract people and have them come to you and just fellowship around you. I mean, they gather and they look up to you, but if you don't have love, it's for nothing. You know, I heard a pastor speak a while back. He said, you know, there's a lot of pastors that love the crowd and they love the attention, but they don't love the people. They want the seats to be filled, and they want to be able to boast to their friends about the number of people that they have coming to their church, but they're not doing anything for them. They want to give them the watered-down word. You know, they want to collect their monies, their tithes, but they're not feeding them anything. They're not there for them in that midnight hour when someone's in trouble and they just need that little prayer. You know, you have all these people that are out in the world and they're out and about and they're living this life. God still wants those people. Although that they don't realize what their purpose is, they don't realize that God has a calling for them, they don't realize that God has a purpose, God still wants those people. He doesn't want any of us out there just wandering lost and up to no good. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is hovering over the earth and it's looking for his people. It's looking for his people that are off track. It's just like the story of the woman that had the 10 coins. She had lost one coin. She searched that whole house. She swept up everything trying to find that one coin. It's just like the story of the good shepherd. He had 100 sheep. He lost that one and he went out and he searched for that one because he didn't want it to be lost to the world. You have a purpose. We all have a purpose. God wants us to be able to fulfill that purpose because it was destined for us. You know, the Spirit of the Lord, he's looking for those people that are out there that we cast away. He's looking for that homeless person. He's looking for that drunk. He's looking for that drug addict. He's looking for that prostitute. He's looking for that stripper. He's looking for that wife beater that is out there. He's looking for that cheater. He's looking for that child molester. He's looking for that child that's been molested for the simple fact that he has something that God wants to pull out. That person has been through something that God can use to minister to others. So God's looking for that. The Spirit of the Lord is looking for that good Christian. That good Christian that had been obedient for oh so long, but has started to lose his faith. Started to doubt whether God really is there for him. Started to doubt if it's the church for him. Started to doubt if he was being used the right way. Spirit of the Lord is looking for that bedridden person, that sick person that's just laying there, thought they were done, thought they were over with. Ron tells a story all the time about when he had the stroke, about how he was ready to go. God said, not yet. You still got work to do. He's looking for those that are sick and that are shut in, that have no one around them. They're just lonely. They can't understand that God can still use them. Although they can't get up and get out, they can still get on the telephone and talk to somebody. I couldn't tell you how many times my grandmother, when I was a kid, she'd get on the telephone. She was part of the missionary, and every week they would announce all the sick and shut in. And although my grandmother couldn't physically make it to everyone's house, she would call each and every one of them and personally pray over the telephone for those people. I was talking to Pastor Daigle a couple weeks ago, and he was telling me that out there at the park. He said, sometimes, Dale, your presence isn't that important. He said, your prayer can do more things. So even when you can't be there physically, you can pray. You can do that intercessory prayer, and that could change the situation for people. The Spirit of the Lord is looking for that runaway mother. The Spirit of the Lord is looking for that missing father. Because although you can't handle that pressure right now, and although you're trying to get away from that situation right now, God still has a calling for you. God still wants to reconcile you with your children. He still wants to reconcile you with your family. He still wants to reconcile you so you could be that good witness. You could be that walking, talking testimony. That's one of the things that I try to tell people is that I didn't do anything but accept the Lord. I didn't do anything but gave myself to God. But now I do consider myself to be that walking, talking testimony. If anybody ever tells you that miracles don't exist, just tell them about me. You know? See, I know that when I gave myself to God, it was a sudden thing. And it was so sudden that I didn't even realize that it had really happened. You know, when he first saved me, it was like the chains of addiction were just like dropped off of me. They're broken off of me. It's like I was able to live again. You know, Ron, I remember a conversation me and Ron had a long time ago, and he said, Dale, what do you want? And this before I was saved, and I just said, Ron, I just want my life back. It wasn't a matter of me wanting to be able to work the same job I had or make the same money I had or live in the same house that I had. It was a matter of me being able to get up each and every day and have a purpose. For a long time, I walked in this vicious cycle. I'd get up, come out of the truck. First thing I did was went to find a beer. I'd go get the beer. I'd go hang out with the fellas. We'd sit around all day, and we'd drink. After we got done drinking, we'd go down to St. Timothy's Church. Sorry about that. We'd eat, and then we'd all gather again right back at the park and sit and drink. I don't know about y'all, but that's not much of a purpose. That's not much living. That's just being trapped. That's just being stuck in bondage. God doesn't want you there. God has so much more for you. I would have never thought in a million years, that God would change me the way that he had changed me. I would have never thought that God would have put the things on my heart that he's actually put on my heart. I would have never thought that God would have showed me love the way he showed me love. I mean, God has showed me people. He has put people in my life that has given me an unconditional love that I could never even imagine. There were people that would reach out to me, and I would always look like, what's your angle? What are you trying to get at? Why are you doing this? You know, because everyone I had met in this wonderful city of Las Vegas was after something. Every one of them. It was never a matter of, I'm doing this for you because I love you. And even when I was told that, I still doubted it because you didn't know me. You didn't know what I did. You didn't know the way I had treated people. You didn't know that I would go into a store and take what I wanted. You didn't know that if you got on my nerves, I would backslap you. But you still love me, and I don't know why. And that's the same thing with God. No matter what you're doing out there in this world, no matter how far off track you might think you are, no matter how lost you think you are, God still has a plan and a purpose for you. God still wants to make sure that he can keep you on track so you can be where you're supposed to be. God still wants to turn you from that water to that wine. When I was saved, it was like I was able to actually read the word of the Lord and actually have a brand new understanding of it. It wasn't just a matter of me reading and getting a bunch of information. There's an old saying, reading the word gives you information, meditating the word gives you revelation. And I misspoke last week when I was talking to Pastor Don. I said, you know, I just want to hear from the Lord. I just want to hear from the Lord. Pastor, I'm hearing from the Lord on a regular basis when I choose to listen. I keep waiting for this audible voice, but but he's just constantly talking to me and telling me things, but it's not that audible voice that I'm looking for. If you spend the time with God, if you spend the time with Jesus, he will change you. He will change you from the very core of yourself. He will change you from your very substance. Now, he didn't just change my outward appearance. He changed me from the inside out. He changed the way I treated people, the way I talked to people, the way I loved people. It was no more a matter of I'm going to do what I want to do because this is what I want to do, and if you don't like it, that's just too bad. My daughter asked me yesterday, Daddy, what is uncompromising? I said, uncompromising is when I want to exercise and you want to go to the store. And I say, this is what's going to happen. We're just going to go exercise. That's it. Uncompromising is when you want French fries and I want you to eat vegetables, and I tell you to eat your vegetables instead of your French fries. Now, the opposite of that is compromising. Compromise is when you want French fries and I want you to eat vegetables, so we come up with the sweet potato fries. You want to go to the store, I want to exercise, so we're going to walk to the store. That's a compromise, right? So she needed that illustration. See, we have to be uncompromising as we're walking our walk for Christ. We have to be uncompromising when we're pouring out our love for people, but we have to be able to compromise when we're dealing with folks. Because I learned a long time ago that everybody doesn't see things the way I see things. And that was a hard lesson to learn. Because if you didn't see things the way I saw things, that meant that I had to make you see things the way I see things. And like this a few times. See, Jesus, he wants to make sure that he has touched you and poured into you in a way to where you can withstand the pressure. You can withstand the fire. I was reading an article. They got that new Jackie Robinson movie. And they were talking about the reason why that manager selected Jackie Robinson to be the first black player in Major League Baseball was because of his religious beliefs. He knew that he had to have a person that was going to be a Christian that was going to withstand the criticism, to withstand the taunting, to withstand the attacks that was coming without wavering. He knew that he had to find someone that would not fight back. He had to find someone that, be it they were on the field, walking to the bus, walking down the street, because they would go from city to city, town to town. You have to remember, black people were not allowed everywhere. But he had to have someone that would not fight back, that would not strike back, because that would be a black eye to it. They say that there are more players that were talented than Jackie Robinson, but they didn't have that makeup. They didn't have that substance that God is looking for. They were still weak. They were still in the flesh. They still had that worldly clothing on. God wants to be able to change you from the inside out. He wants to change the very substance of you, like he did that water to wine. He wants you to be that fine wine that he could place out there in front of anybody in the world, in front of presidents, in front of kings, in front of businessmen, in front of the homeless, in front of the married couple, in front of that single woman, in front of the children, and in front of the elderly. He wants you to be someone that he can use in any situation at any point in time, and that you will be tasteful enough to where the people will boast, to where the people will say, there's something different about this one here. This is the good wine. If you're looking at the story of that wedding, the master of the feast, he's talking about this is the good wine. He calls out to the bridegroom. He says, something different here. Usually, the bridegroom will stick out the good wine in the very beginning until everyone gets drunk. And then once they get drunk, they'll put out the inferior stuff, the watered down stuff, because you won't tell. One of the things I used to do when I used to throw parties, I'd get everybody drunk and then I'd cut down the water down, right? But this bridegroom, he wasn't doing that. He was putting out the good stuff at the end. God wants the master of the feast to be able to boast about us. When he sets us out there in front of people, especially if they knew the way you were before, especially when they knew that you was that water sitting in that pot, stagnant, stinking, dry, warm, lukewarm, some of us, And he pulls you out there and he gives you to the master of the feast. And he can taste you. And he can tell that this is the best that this bridegroom has to offer. And he's not trying to hold back. He's not trying to wait until tomorrow. He's not trying to have some so he can use another in another celebration. He's putting everything he got out there now. Because if you listen to it, Jesus is the bridegroom of this church. Jesus says, I come to give you life and give you life more abundantly. He didn't say I was coming to give you some life and then I'm going to withdraw some because we got to get you over here and then give you a little bit more. He said, I come to give you life and give you life more abundantly. My God is not a God of lack. My God is a God of abundance. Can I get amen on that one? You get people that have been touched, that have been changed. Be it Christians or just everyday people, and they try to walk the walk and they try to look the part. They'll put on the suit. They'll go out and they'll buy a Bible. They'll memorize a couple of verses. But the proof is in the consistency. Just as Pastor was saying, you know, you come in and you tithe one time, that don't make you a tither. That just means you paid tithes. You show up at the charity one time, don't mean that you're working for a charity. That just means that you're a volunteer sometimes. To show up on Easter Sunday and shouting and giving praise don't mean that you are a member of the church. Don't mean that you're there on a weekly basis. The consistency is what differentiates people. See, anybody could put on a front for a short period of time. Anybody could be on their best behavior for a short period of time. But when you start to get pressed, like that grape, your real in person is going to come out. The real person inside of you will come out. When you're tired, moms, I know you know this one. When you have been dealing with those kids all day, and you're tired and you wore down, and your husband walks in the house talking about, how come my dinner ain't ready? Your real person is going to come out. When you've been stressed out, you at work all day, all night, and you're trying to figure out how you're going to make this work, and everything just seems bleak, and your boss comes in talking about, you ain't done yet. Your true person is going to come out. See, God wants to change us completely. Like I said, from the inside out, whatever is in you will come out in the times of pressure, in times of stress. It's going to come out. And God wants his words, to come out of your mouth. See, Jesus no longer wants us to be sitting around in this pot just getting stagnant. He wants us to be that fine wine that could be used to serve the masses. Not just inside the church, but outside the church. Not just in your neighborhood, but throughout the community. You should be able to go to any other organization that is doing charitable work. You should be able to go to the hospital, like the youth going over to the cottages. You should be able to go to these different places and do these things. Volunteer of your time. Give your time. You know what I'm saying? Do some work. Not to impress man, but to show Jesus' love. You shouldn't have to worry about an honorarium like Steve was talking about earlier. You should be able to go anywhere and volunteer because God said so. You should be able to go and be that shining example for God everywhere you go. I pray on a regular basis that we will just be just flooded with the Holy Spirit so where each and every person we come into contact with will be infected. Not affected, infected. I want it to be like a disease and spread rampant in them. God has this unconditional love for us. And he has this beautiful purpose for us and plan for us that we just have to. We have to do our part to where we can get there. And the only way we can is to just surrender to him. Just to let him just touch you. Just to let him touch you and just change things in your life. Like I said, not just your outward appearance. Anybody can try to talk the good talk. But it's about how you walk in your daily path. How you walk on your daily struggle. You know, I used to tell people, I used to tell people a lot, you know, don't worry about how I look when I'm on my way to church. Don't worry about how I act when I'm doing something for the church, if I'm at a function. Don't worry about how I act when I know that people are watching. If you want to be impressed with the way I carry myself, be impressed with me when I'm out at the grocery store. Be impressed with me when I'm walking down the walkway to do my laundry. Be impressed with me when I'm at work and I feel like seeing if people believe in healing. That's when you are to be impressed with me. Anybody could be good. Anybody could be good when they know that they're being watched. But it's what we do when we're not aware of our being watched, what we're doing on our regular walk. Like I said, Jesus is concerned from where you came from. He is concerned with what you've done. He was there. He saw it. But he's still reaching out to you right now. And he's still trying to pull you up. Like that song said, he brought me out of the pits. And he's standing me on this rock. Jesus has a plan and a purpose for you. He wants to change you from that stinking, stagnant, warm, nasty water into a fine wine. Like I said, he wants to turn you into that wine that he can put before a man, that he could use to draw people near to him. If you let Jesus, he'll do it. But you have to let him. You have to let him. And what I want to do to finish up today is I want to sing a song. I want to bring Sherry back up. And we just want to do a song. And it's mainly just speaking on, if you let God, if you let him touch you, if you let him change you, if you let him work in your life, how nothing could ever be the same. It's impossible for you to be in the presence of God and have sickness. It's impossible for you to be in the presence of God and have pain. It's impossible for you to be in the presence of God and have sorrow. It's impossible for you to be in the presence of God and have anger. It's impossible for you to be in the presence of God and have pride. If you would just surrender yourself, if you could just release everything that is you and give it to God, he'll touch you, he'll change you, and he'll turn you from that water to wine. Matthew.